Good evening, church family, and Merry Christmas. What a sweet night it is to be together praising the one who deserves all of our praise. Amen. Listen, I have a message for you this afternoon that I think God wants you to hear. And at the end of this message, I'm going to ask you a very specific question, a very important question that I want you to be able to answer. But I'm going to start off with a different question. The question is this: Have you ever ran into someone, like out in public, someone who knows you, but you can't instantly place who they are? Like, they know you, but you don't immediately recognize them and you don't know who they are. I'm sure that has happened to you. If you're anything like me, the Lord has given me ample opportunity to experience that awkwardness that happens when you run into someone who knows you, but you don't know them. Let me share with you one of those moments. A few years ago, my wife and I were at a Birmingham Barons baseball game, and we were standing in line at the concession stand, and I'm talking to my wife, and from behind me, I hear a voice that says, "Jared." And I turn around, and I instantly realize I have no idea who this guy is who just called my name. And there's probably a lot of really, really smart things you could do when that happens. I didn't do any of those. I'll tell you what I did. This is what I did. I said, "What's up, man? Bring it in," right? And so we're hugging it out. And I'm really trying to buy some time, hoping maybe I can remember who this guy is. But nothing's working. Typically in those moments, I can look at my wife and she'll recognize that I'm lost. And she'll usually step in and redeem me. But she gives me this look like, "I don't know." So I know instantly I'm in trouble. But we continue the small talk, you know. How's your mom and them and all that. The whole time, I have no idea who this guy is. I'm trying to buy some time. Nothing's working. Eventually, we get our hot dogs, and we make our way back to our seats. And my wife has a couple of questions for me. You can probably guess what they are. Number one, "Hey, who was that?" And I had to say, "I have no idea who that was." You can imagine her follow-up question was, "Then why did you hug him?" And again, I had to say, "I don't know why I did that. It was spur of the moment. Sometimes I do dumb things." We sat through the rest of the game, and on the way home that afternoon, 3 hours later, it dawns on me who that man was. You see, the day before, I had taken my vehicle to get the oil changed at the oil change place right across the road from my office. And the man who checked me out that day happened to remember my name the next day at the Birmingham Barons game. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. But I share that story with you because I think there are different ways of knowing someone. You see, I thought I knew him. Like, he thought he knew me. And I acted like I really knew him, but the truth is neither one of us knew each other. We just knew of each other. And I think, brothers and sisters, our relationship with God can be the exact same way. And the difference, listen to me, the difference between knowing of God and knowing him can mean the difference on where you spend eternity. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come into your house as a body of Christ, as a church family. Thank you for allowing us to bring you praise. To worship you, God, that's why we're here. Not to hear a good message, not to sing a good song, but to worship a good Savior. God, I pray that we can be people, Jesus people, people who set all the distractions of the consumerism side of Christmas aside, and that we can make much of a king. God, I pray that we decrease so that you might increase. God, let these words be yours and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1, verse 1. Our passage out of Scripture tonight is going to be kind of loose. We're going to thumb through just a handful of verses real quickly. But as you're turning to John chapter 1, I want to remind you that in Scripture, God continuously reveals himself to us. Throughout Scripture, God continuously reveals his characteristics and his attributes of himself to his people so that they might know him. The more we learn about God and the more he reveals himself to us through Scripture, the more we understand him differently, and the more we know him more holistically. And in doing so, in the Old Testament, if you guys have read some Old Testaments, you know that as God revealed himself to his people, they began to give him different names. Names of God like Jehovah Jireh, and Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Nisi, and Elohim. And the Old Testament is full of these stories of God revealing himself and his characteristics to his people so that they might not just know of him, but that they might know him. And in the New Testament, we find that God brings his ultimate reveal. We read about God's ultimate reveal for us, his salvation plan, when he reveals his son, Jesus. You know, you can know a lot about someone just by being around them. Have you ever thought about this? Like you can know a lot about someone just by being around them. Think about maybe a coworker or someone you know in the community or maybe a distant family member or another parent that might be on your child's ball team. You can know a lot about a person just by being around them. You might know what kind of car they drive. You might know what they do for a living. You might even know what they like to eat for lunch or what their favorite ball team is. You can know a lot about someone, but if you really want to get to know them, you have to engage with them, right? Like you would have to spend time with them and you would have to talk to them, right? You would have to ask them questions like, hey, where did you grow up? Or how many brothers and sisters do you have? Or how long have you been married? Or what's some of your favorite vacations? Or what are some of your hobbies, right? The more questions you ask, the more words you use, the more you get to know them. In other words, if you want to get to really know someone and not just know of them, you would have to use your words. And in John chapter 1, we see that that's exactly what God did for us. So if you look in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. It says, in the very, very beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then later on in verse 7, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God used his word. God sent his words, Jesus, because he wants you to know him and he wants to know you. Brothers and sisters, the entire point of Christmas is that we get to celebrate God wanting to know you. God used his word so that you might know him. That's the entire reason we're here this afternoon. That we might have a right relationship with him. And in verse 29 of chapter 1, we're introduced to a new name of God. It says that John the Baptist So John the Baptist is standing there, and he looks off in the distance, and he sees this man, Jesus, coming. And he cries out to the crowd, and he says, "Hey, behold, there's the man. There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There he is. There's Messiah. There's the Christ. There's the one we've been waiting for this whole time. There's Jesus." The rest of chapter 1, chapter 2, Jesus launches his public ministry, and he begins to call disciples. And he does some miracles. But then in chapter 3, Jesus engages in this conversation with a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a spiritual leader with the Jews, and it says at night he snuck away to have this very private conversation with Jesus because he was curious. And he wanted to know what Jesus' purpose was. And Jesus gave him they had this conversation, arguably maybe the greatest conversation that's ever happened. And in so doing, Jesus explained his purpose and his plan for salvation. In John chapter 3, verse 16, if you'll turn there with me, he says this. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." A verse all of us know probably very, very well. In verse 17, he says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Over and over in Scripture, we're told that the only way to know the Father, like if you really, really want to know the Father, if you want to stop just knowing of him and start knowing him, the only way to truly know him is to know the Son. Salvation comes through Christ Jesus alone. You know, I'm convinced, church, that our greatest challenge to advance the gospel of Jesus in Alabaster, to advance the gospel of Jesus in Shelby County, isn't to introduce God to people who don't know him. It's to introduce God to people who think they know him, but who actually only know of him. People who only know their own version of God. Listen, I was here for a very long time. I know what this is like. This might be you. Maybe you've created your own version of God. Maybe like the Santa Claus version, where he's up there keeping watch on your behavior and then dividing all of us into categories of naughty or nice. Is that your version of God? Or maybe you've been following, or maybe you only know like this genie in the bottle. This genie-in-the-bottle version of God, where your relationship is dependent on whether or not he's granting your wishes or your prayers. Is that your version of God? Or maybe you've been following this mediator version, where he's weighing our good deeds versus our bad deeds, and in the end, you hope the good outweighs the bad, and if so, you can be deemed a good person and make it into heaven. Is that your version of God? On and on and on and on. It's imperative, brothers and sisters, that you know this version of Jesus. Not your own version that you created so that life can be more convenient, just like I did for a very, very long time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We read that there will be a time during judgment when there are people, good people, church people, who are standing at the gates and they're crying out, Father, Father, I did all these things for you on behalf of your name. I did all these things. And Jesus will look at them and reply and say, depart from me, because I never knew you. In James 2, we were reminded that salvation, listen to me, salvation, there's more to salvation than just simply knowing that God exists. Even demons know he exists. Listen, I know what it's like to just know of God. I spent the majority of my life growing up in church, knowing all the church lingo, knowing all the Bible stories. I know what it's like to know of God. I spent the majority of my life simply knowing God existed. But if you would have asked me, here's the kicker, if you would have asked me all of those years, Jared, are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? I would have told you yes, but the truth is, I never knew Jesus as Lord. I never knew God as my Savior or as my Father. I simply knew Him. I simply knew of Him. If that is you today, I'm begging you to not spend one more day simply knowing of Him. I'm begging you to surrender your life to Jesus and know Him as Savior. In J.I. Packer's famous book titled Knowing God, I encourage you to go read that. It's a famous book. It's one you should have on the bookshelf. It's chewy and it's hard to read, but it's so good. He says this. There's this quote. I want to read it to you. He says, there is no peace like the peace of those whose minds are possessed with the full assurance that they have known God and God has known them. And that this relationship guarantees God's favor to them in life, through death, and on and on and on forever. Brothers and sisters, are you possessed with the full assurance that you have known God and that He knows you? Do you know the Son? I'm going to close my message. I want to read to you this list of names of God. I'm going to breeze through these really quickly. This is just a list of names that are found in Scripture of God the Father or God the Son or the Holy Spirit. It's not a comprehensive list. It's just a long list that I found online. But I want this to be a way to remind you of the God we get to know and celebrate. Here we go. I want to ask you if you know this God. Jehovah, the Lord my shepherd, the Lord shall provide, the Lord who heals, the Lord is my banner, the Lord who sanctifies, the Lord who is peace, the Lord who is righteous, the Lord who is there. Author of salvation, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the Lord of glory, I am. The Almighty, the Everlasting Father, the First and the Last, the Faithful Witness, the Image of the Invisible God, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, a Sacrifice, a Ransom, the Lord who heals you, Heir of all things, the Temple, a Sanctuary, Intercessor, Author and Finisher of our Faith, Advocate, Surety of a Better Covenant, Teacher, the Resurrection and the Life, the Wisdom of God, Yahweh, God, Son of God, Beloved Son, Lord, the Word, Messiah, Alpha and Omega, Savior, Redeemer, Light of the World, Lamb of God, Creator of all things, Master, Mediator, Bread of Life, High Priest, the Lamb without blemish and without spot, the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world, the Shepherd of the sheep, the Way, the Good Shepherd, the Sheep, the Chief Shepherd, the Rock of my fortress, the Rock of my salvation, the Rock and my Redeemer, the Foundation, the Stone, a Chief Cornerstone, the Last Adam, God's Firstborn, the first fruits of them that slept, a witness to the people, the Amen, the light, the true light. He is the Lamb who was slain. He is faithful. He is our strong tower. He is our foundation. He is the tree of life, the bright and morning star, the Son of righteousness. He is our gift, the head of the body, a life-giving spirit, the head of all principality and power. And in Luke chapter 2, he was called Yeshua, Jesus. Salvation. Brothers and sisters, my question for you is this. Do you know him? It's the question you all have to answer at some point. Not your own version, not your grandmother's version, not the cultural version. Do you know Jesus as Lord? It's the greatest decision you will ever make. It's the entire reason we get to celebrate Christmas, that you and I, not because of anything we've done, but because of everything Jesus did on our behalf, you and I can know God. Not just know of him, but know him. Listen, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to take communion. But I want you to know something. I want you to know, this is very important to me, that you know this. I want you to know that I love you very, very much. But Jesus loves you even more. And if you're ready today to make a decision, maybe you recognize for the very first time that I don't know him as Lord. I only know of him. I'm going to be hanging around after service. Come and find me. I'd love to pray with you and talk to you about next steps. Or I'd love to just get to know you, maybe even give you a hug and tell you I love you. But I'm going to hang around, and if you're ready to make next steps, I want to encourage you, don't waste another day. It's time to know Jesus as Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this time together. God, I thank you for the truth in your word. God, thank you that we don't have to do this life simply wandering from hopeless object to hopeless object. God, that we can have blessed assurance that we know you and that we have been known. God, I thank you for the birth of a Savior. I thank you for that salvation came down. And God, we don't have to clean ourselves up to come to you. That God, you meet us where we are. In the brokenness, in the distance, in the sinfulness, in the middle of a construction site, in the middle of a hospital room, in the middle of a replant church, God, you meet us where we are. God, I thank you for salvation. God, I pray everyone in this room searches their heart and that before they leave today, they know that they know that they know that you are their Lord. God, I pray you stir a curiosity in our hearts to want to know you more. God, help us be the ambassadors that you designed us to be. May we be people who bring you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.